Last week I spoke to you about in Christ, being in Christ, and how Paul had talked about that everything that came his way ended up working out for the good. Even being in chains, even being bound and in prison, worked out for his glory because it was all part of his plan. And he used those things that come our way to benefit and to further the goodness and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, part of what I want to say kind of goes along in that same line. I want to talk about being triumphant or triumphing in Christ. As Paul states there in that 14th verse, he says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." In Christ, we find that triumph. So how can we find it? How can we be triumphant in Christ? That's the question that we ask. So I want to share with you a few things there from the Scripture that illustrate and instruct us on how to be triumphant in our Lord Jesus. First of all, we can be triumphant in Christ when we take the opportunity to go through a door that He has opened for us. Verses 12 and 13, I'll look those briefly again. "Therefore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Paul took the opportunity. When God opened a door for him, he went through it. Folks, we have to be willing to step out and go through those open doors when they come. Paul was willing to do that. He was willing to risk anything and everything. He didn't find, he was worried. He was waiting on his friend and his companion Titus, and he wasn't there. And you know the question must have been going around in his head: should I stay here and wait for him, or should I move on and maybe catch up with him along the way? Maybe we'll run it. Maybe he's in need. Maybe I need to go. Maybe I should stay. What do you do? When God opens a door, we can't allow the concerns of the world, the obstacles that may be there, the fears that we may have personally, to stand in the way. If God has opened a door for us, now, and that the key part is there that God has opened the door, discerning that point. That's a whole other sermon series there on that. But when God has opened a door for us, when we've prayed for something, and then it opens up, in which Paul had prayed for this. He had prayed for the opportunity to go to Macedonia. He had sought for the opportunity, but we know from the earlier scripture that on countless time after time, God had blocked the way for him going into Macedonia, into Greece, and preaching the gospel. But now his prayer was being answered. The door was open. It didn't seem the most opportune time for him to do it. He was worried. He had uneasy feelings about not finding his friend and companion, Titus. But yet, when the door was open, Paul went through it. We can find triumph in our lives and in sharing the gospel when God opens a door for us that we need to move through it. Second thing that we find is that we can find triumph, we can experience triumph in Christ when we recognize that it is indeed God who leads us and reveals truth to us. It is indeed when we recognize that it is indeed God who leads and reveals. Verse 14. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." You see, through us, it's not us that diffuses the knowledge. It's not us that reveals great knowledge to one another. But it is God through us that these kind of things are revealed, that knowledge is revealed, that an understanding of who God is and who He's calling us to be is revealed. It's not about our Sunday school teachers. They are not the ones that reveal God to us. Through God, they are able to reveal God to us and to share knowledge with us. It's not your preacher that does it, despite what I may say sometimes, you know. It's not about me. It's not me who reveals God to you, who has the knowledge to give you. If you hear anything good in here on Sunday morning while I'm standing up here in front of you talking, it's because it's God through me that has done it. Because I can't. It's not possible. I'm not capable. I'm not worthy. And it just won't happen if it has to be me. It has to be God who is doing the leading and the guiding. It is God through me if anything good comes. Now, I want to just share something with you. Kind of, you know, it's getting a little personal, and it's that time of year when I've heard questions about this. And, you know, I've been here in my seventh year. I hear people saying, you hear anything about moving this year? Is anything happening there? You know, it is getting towards that time of year when that kind of conversation starts happening, when people start wondering about those things. And I've had people tell me that we don't want you to leave. I actually haven't had anybody come and say, we want you to leave. It may be out there somewhere. And if it is, tell the PPR committee. Don't tell me. But I've had people say, we don't want you to leave. We're afraid that when you do leave, that things are going to go down, that the momentum is going to change and all. And I understand those fears, because you never know what's going to happen in the future. But folks, what I want you to know and to understand is that it's not about me, even though that may feed my ego to hear that. Even though that may make me puff up and stand tall for a minute and think that I'm mighty important and that, you know, it can't happen without me. The truth is, and I know, that they can bring a trained monkey in here and do my job, that if the people here are following God and His lead, then nothing will change, that you will continue to grow and prosper. And so the greatest thing that I could ever be told by any one of you is that Fred, not that the church needs you because it won't make it without you, because you know how many preachers have been here in the 105 years of this church? I think 35 before me, and that's if you count Mr. Gross twice, who was here at two different times. 35 preachers. There's a lot of them men and one woman. They could preach a whole lot better than me. They're a whole lot better pastors than me. Certainly a whole lot smarter than me. So I know when I leave that this church is going to go on as long as people are allowing God to lead them. And that it is God and not the preacher, not the Sunday school teacher, not the choir director, not the choir, not anybody else in this church, but Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ, is leading them. The best thing that could ever be you could ever tell me is that we know this church is going to do fine because you've enabled us, you've helped us to understand how to follow God. And we're going to go right on and we're going to continue. That's what I would like. That's what I want to know. That's what I want my legacy to be here when I leave, whether it be next month or 10 years from now, or if I retire and y'all and die right here and y'all have to plant me out there to get me away from here. Whenever it is, that's what I want people to be able to say, that this church continued on because I had not preached Fred, but I had preached Jesus Christ and showed you and just an example of Jesus Christ and allowed Him to be the lead and the guide. It's not me. It's not me. Now, I say that, talk about that, and I don't have any indication that I am leaving. So I'm not saying that to try to prepare you, because I am leaving this year. I honestly and truly have had no indication whatsoever that I'm leaving. I haven't had any indication that I'm staying, but I nothing has been mentioned about it. So that's where that is, and I will let you know if something changes on that. Now, I want to be a little bit prophetic here. Angela don't like that when I'm prophetic. Angela, when her and Todd and Miranda and Patrick came to the family fun with their T-shirts talking about being winners of the tug of war last year. And I was out of town that weekend, if y'all remember. And Daniel sent me a picture text of it and showed me their pictures and with their T-shirts on there, the 2008 champs, tug of war champs. My response was, pride goeth before a fall. Well, if y'all know the story, Angela did have a fall during that tug of war thing and really messed up her knee and has had surgery and all those kind of things. And I was tagged with being prophetic on that. Now, just because I told what was going to happen doesn't mean that I made it happen. So now, you know, But I want to be a little prophetic here right now. And when we talk about being prophetic, it doesn't mean that I can see into the future. It just means when the Old Testament prophets spoke, they were telling the people of Israel what would happen if something didn't happen. And I can tell you this right here today. And I get a sense of it. I get an inkling of it right now. Right now, I get an inkling of it in our midst. That if we become slack, if we become complacent, if we don't do everything we can to put our all into Jesus Christ, into serving Him, then whether I'm here, or whether you bring the DS here to preach, or whether or not you wheel Billy Graham up here from Montreat, this church will decline and will falter if Jesus Christ, if we do not make every effort to put everything that we are and all that we are into serving Him and to Him alone. Folks, it's easy to get complacent. We all get it at times. We get it in our relationships between husband and wife. We take things for granted. We take our friendships for granted. We take our relationship with Christ for granted, and we take our church obligations for granted. It's easy to do, and we got a lot to be thankful for and to pat our backs for, so to speak. You know, we can say that we've built a brand new building over here, and we've done these things. We've had new members join the church. We've got all these kids involved and everything. We can just sit back and cruise for a little bit. Just relax a little bit. There's no need to press on. There's no need to keep pushing forward. Let's just relax. Well, folks, when we first time we relax, we ain't just staying even and holding our own. We're backing up. Because the world's moving on, and we need to be moving on and growing in Jesus Christ. We've got to continue on. We can't be complacent. It'll happen. We will falter if we don't. Do you want to ease up? Do you want to let things get away from us? Do we want to just be complacent and satisfied with the way things are? Folks, we can't be, because God is leading us forward and moving us continually forward to fulfill the calling that He's placed upon us as a church. We can't be complacent about our attendance. We can't be complacent about our tithing. We can't be complacent about our opportunities to serve in ministry. We can't be complacent about these things, people, because God is leading us in those directions. Third thing that we can find triumph in is His knowledge, in knowing that His knowledge is for those being saved and for those perishing. That's that verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. For those being saved and for those who are perishing. I think that kind of includes us all, folks. Every one of us. Everybody across the face of the earth. We are either being saved or we are perishing. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that God is an exclusive God, that He is only for those who have come to Him and accepted Him and have called upon Jesus. God is for those who are lost, because He created you and He allowed His Son. He sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth. And His Son willingly went to the cross and died for those who were lost. Just like all of us who are now saved were once lost. Jesus died for us. Jesus came not to make our church an exclusive organization that only people with baptismal marks upon their head can come through the doors. But He made us to be open and receptive to those who need Him, to those who are lost, to those who are struggling. He allowed His Son Jesus to die for those who were lost. We're not the country club where you have to pay your dues and you have to be of the right social class. Jesus died for all of us. Not a secret club. He says, for those being saved. Now, you say, well, I've been saved, so I don't have to worry about those things. Well, folks, you're not just saved. You are being saved. Daily, as you draw closer to Christ, as you learn more about His love for you, as you learn more about His calling, He does not do something and just make you done. He draws you and brings you closer. And we can get closer each and every day. We can understand more about His will for us the closer we get to Him. We are being saved. For those perishing, He came for those who don't know Him. For those who are lost. For those who are just wandering around and not sure. He came to offer repentance to all of those. Fourth, we can find triumph in Christ when we tell the truth out of love. Verse 15 or 16 and 17 again. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not so as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We are called to tell the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel in love. We do it with a heart for people. Every week, I have people tell me, thank you, Fred, you preached a good message. Good message, Pastor. I appreciate that. Once again, that feeds my ego and it makes me walk tall and my head get really big. And as I have said in prophetic to Angela and Todd, pride goeth before a fall. It doesn't take long to realize where anything comes from in my life. That all feels good. I like hearing those words. But what really is more satisfying is to hear, and I hear it occasionally too, is that, Fred, today you really stepped on my toes. Fred, you were preaching to me today, whether you know it or not. Fred, I think about Charlie and Peggy, they told me sometimes, says, do you come to our house and look in our window and see what's going on there and hear our conversations? Do you have us bugged? No, I don't have that, but you know what? What I'm preaching about day in and day out steps on my toes every time I stand up here. I look down at my feet and they don't look that big, but I tell you what, they must be 40 feet long because I can't move without stepping on my toes. I can't speak a word about God. I can't read a passage of Scripture without it just getting all over my toes. It's because we're all in that same category. We all fall short. We're all in need of a closer relationship with Jesus, and we're not there. We're on the way, hopefully, but we need Him. And when the Word of God is spoken, and if it's spoken truthfully and in love, we're going to find times that it just galls us to hear it because it's the truth, and we're not always living the truth. It's going to speak to our hearts. Jesus came to seek and to save. I try to tell the truth. I try to tell it not because I want you to feel bad, not because I want you to feel guilty, but because I love you and I want you to know and experience a relationship with Jesus Christ that just gives you and offers you everything that there is in this world. All the comfort and assurance and hope that's needed. All the hope that we can have that when a death comes into our families, that we can know that that's not the end, that it's not the final say-so, that the victory is not death, but the victory is everlasting life in Jesus. I want you to know that. And I want the world to know that. I want the people in this community to know that. And you know what? I can't tell everybody. I don't tell enough people. I can do better, but it's impossible for me to tell that. And the only way the people in this community can know about it, that everyone can know about it, and the people in the world can know about it, is if you are with me in this, telling them about it. And I love you, and I want you to tell people that, because I hope you love everybody out there too. And you want them to know the same peace and the same hope, the same assurance that you have. I can't do it by myself. But we can do it together. But we have to do it out of love. Now, I've told that joke or story about the preacher. Two friends were getting together. I'll tell it again quickly. You've heard it, I know. Some of you may not have. Two friends would get together talking about their churches, and the one person said, "Our church is just going down the tubes. I just don't know what's happening. It's just people are leaving left and right. We can't pay our light bill, and you know, people are just, nobody's coming in. You know, just terrible, terrible." And the other friend says, "Well, what's going on? What's happening?" He says, "Well, the preacher every Sunday gets up there and tells the people that they're all a bunch of sinners and that they're all going to hell if they don't change their ways and turn to Jesus and repent, that they're going to go to hell." And the guy says, "Oh, okay." Well, a few months later, the same two friends get back together, and he asks him again. He says, "Well, how are things going at your church now?" He says, "Oh," says, "it's completely different." He says, "Things have turned around 180 degrees. We've got a new preacher, and people are coming in. The church is filling up. We're talking about maybe having to build." And he says, "Oh, that's great, but what's the difference?" He said, "Well, this preacher's coming in there. He's coming there, and he's preaching that we're all a bunch of sinners and that we need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and if we don't change our ways, if we don't repent, we're all going to hell." And his friend kind of shakes his head, and he says, "Well, isn't that the same thing the other preacher was telling you?" He said, "Yeah, but the first one was telling it with a smile on his face. This one is telling it with a tear in his eye." We have to share the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with a tear in our eye, folks, when it comes to telling people to come to Jesus. Do it with a tear in your eye. Triumph in Christ. When God opens the door, we must go through it. We have to recognize that it is God who leads and who reveals. We must acknowledge that it is Him who is giving us, that it is His knowledge for those. His knowledge is for those being saved and perishing. It's not a country club. And that we must tell the truth out of love. This morning, as we sing our closing hymn, I would invite you, if you don't know the triumph in Christ, if you feel something lacking in your life, that you offer yourself to Him and experience that triumph. It's not about Fred. It's not about Francis Asbury. But it's about being obedient to the One who came, the only One who is worthy, the One who laid Himself down so that we might be forgiven. It's about Jesus. And it's about sharing the good news of His love and the hope of eternity that He offers us. There's triumph in Christ. Do you have it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the victory that You have won. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus who has defeated Satan and all the enemies that we face, and that we can have hope eternal, life eternal in Him. Lord, You are so good. You have given us so much. May we be obedient. May we love You and one another and the world as You have loved us. All this we pray in the powerful name of Jesus.